Well, just in this final one for 2022, and it's interesting. You know, we had three central banks with their meetings last week, three key ones. Yeah, but, we had both, we had the Fed, we had the ECB, and also the Bank of England. And, you know, whilst they're moderating a little bit from the very, very big interest rate hikes, they all still did 50 basis points each. Still giving indications that there's more work to be done as they go into the new year as well. And that was notwithstanding the fact that in the US, at the very beginning of the week, we had the November CPI. It came in under market expectations, which is helpful. But you know, even with a 0.1% month-on-month lift in the CPI, you know, the market was looking for 0.3. It brought the annual inflation rate down to 7.1 from 7.7. You know, we had the core CPI, which was a touch underneath market expectation, 0.2. That brought the annual inflation rate down to 6 from 6.3. But as the week went on, there's increasing recognition that you know, we've still got a long way to go to get inflation rates anywhere near sustainably low. And for the Fed, that's their target rate of 2% over time. That's still going to take a lot of doing, even with economic numbers starting to show some signs of weakness now. So, you know, I think the penny is starting to drop this last week, but you know, we're not going to get away without a recession. You know, the central banks still have to drive these economies to a recession. It may not be a particularly severe one. That's to get on top of the inflation problem. And that was reinforced by the San Francisco Fed president speaking right at the end of the week, pointing out that basically there's still too much strength running through the labour market. You can't be sure that demand's going to be weak enough to get inflation under control whilst you've still got a lot of strength running through the labour market. Just some of the other indicators, though, you know, there's a touch of softness other than in the labour market. You know, we had the initial jobless claims number came out, and if anything, this is getting stronger still. We had initial jobless claims, which were expected to be 230,000. They came in at 211,000, down from 231,000 the week before. So these are still pointing to a lot of strength running through the labour market. But leading economic indicators, things like some of the regional manufacturing sector indicators, we had the December Empire State survey came out, the Philadelphia Fed survey came out. Both of these quite negative now. The Empire State survey had been plus 4.5, zero is the expansion contraction line on these particular surveys, and they expect it to come down just below that to minus 1 perhaps. It went to minus 11.2, so that's quite soft. Remembering that these are goods producing indicators, and the goods sector is the part that's actually fading at this point. The Philadelphia Fed survey was at minus 19.4, going back to November, quite a weak reading. It was expected to be not quite so weak, perhaps of December, but it still came in at minus 13.8, so that's quite soft. We also had November retail sales numbers. These were on the weaker side too. So we had, after a strong lift of 1.3% going back to October, we expected to see a pullback, probably a minor one. It was a little bit bigger than that, minus 0.6% for November retail sales, and core retail sales were down by 0.2% after being up by 1.2% the month before. And you know, we finished the week with the purchasing managers' reports. We had old-style purchasing managers' reports. That's the manufacturing PMI and the services sector PMI. Both of these are working their way down into the 40s now, well into the 40s. The manufacturing PMI at 46.2 for December from 47.7. The services sector PMI, and there's a bit of a discrepancy between the old-style services sector PMI and the ISM one, which is considered to be probably a more reliable one. The ISM one is still well and truly in the mid-50s. The old-style PMI has actually come down into the 40s at 44.4 from 46.2. So running into this last week before Christmas, you know, the US is still a pretty busy place running into Christmas. You know, they don't have the traditional, you know, early shutdowns running into towards Christmas Eve that we get here or in Europe. In fact, they got a hell of a lot of data coming out on Christmas Eve, or the day before Christmas Eve on Friday. in the US, but obviously it's going to get lost in this quiet week of trading. But some of the numbers we've got coming out this week, a lot of it's related to housing. So we get tonight the National Association of Home Builders Index. That was very soft at 33, going back the previous month, expected to come in still soft around about 34. So obviously these interest rate sensitive parts of the economy are still running pretty weak. Same applies to things like building permits for November, housing starts for November. They had negative signs on the month-on-month growth going back to October. Still expect to have negative signs on the front of it for November, minus 1.8, minus 1.9 roughly on those. Existing home sales, new home sales, existing home sales come out for November on Wednesday. New home sales come out on Friday. And existing home sales and November new home sales, both are expected to be down over 5%. So 5%, 5.2% down month on month for existing home sales, and 5.9% month on month down for new home sales. So you've got some weakness running through there. In amongst that, you've still got the odd stronger numbers. You know, the initial jobless claims when they come out still expect to be pretty low when they come out on Thursday. We have revised GDP for Q3. That was pretty firm at 2.9%. Expects to be the same when that comes out Thursday. And on Friday, we get the alternative view of inflation coming through from the personal consumption expenditure deflator. This is still pretty sticky. It was at 6% running through October. Still expected to be close to 6% for November. And we also get personal income, personal consumption spending coming out. And those are still pretty firm, we think. November looks as if they'd be up, personal income up about 0.3 after being up 0.7. Reason that personal income's holding up so well is also true of Australia, whilst you've got a lot of employment growth running through, not only have you got wage growth, but on top of that, you've got more people actually in work. So total wages paid in the economy is running much, much faster than some of the traditional measures of wages. I'll get onto that when we get onto Australia. But here, for example, the wage price index is running at 3.1%, but total wages paid in the economy are running over 10%. And part of that's to do with employment growth, and I'll mention that as we get to Australia. Just looking at China, the numbers there still extremely soft. And although they've opened up, now everybody's focus is just what sort of toll does that take in terms of hospitalizations and death rates. So whilst it's sort of positive that they're opening the economy up there, there's a lot of concern about how the pandemic's going to run through China over the course of the next month or so. And the numbers are still very, very soft. The regular numbers we got out of China last week, we had fixed asset investment spending, which came down to 5.3% from 5.8%. This is the one area where they're really trying to pump things, but even that one's is not holding up particularly well. Industrial production has come down from plus 5 to only plus 2.2% year on year. That's the weakest industrial production reading I can recall out of China for a long time. So quite a deal of softness there running through the Chinese economy. And what helps to explain it is almost a total disaster now running through retail sales in China. Retail sales were minus 0.5% year on year going back to the month of October. They collapsed to minus 5.9% year on year in the most recent month, way weaker than the market expected. So the Chinese economy at this stage is really running pretty soft. And so this is one of the reasons for the panic reopening of the economy, even if the death rate's going to soar. When I say the death rate's going to soar, some estimates from the World Health Organization suspect that over this next year in China, there will be well over 1 million people who will lose their lives to COVID. So it's quite a substantial death toll, which is going to be coming through because their vaccination rate's so low. Yes, they could start to vaccinate people. That takes time, and they still got to give authority for the overseas vaccines to come in, which are the more effective ones. That hasn't been done yet. So all those issues there as we run through China. There's not much coming out in terms of economic data there this week. Then we move to Australia, and we had some sentiment surveys. We had the NAB business survey. Business conditions still very, very strong, largely reflecting the profitability from the sales, strong sales running through the Australian economy, essentially it's both external sales and internal sales. And so as far as business conditions are concerned, plus 20, that was plus 22 the month before. These are very strong readings. But when is the forward-looking part, business confidence is starting to come back a lot. And so it was at plus 5. It's down to minus 4. Part of this relates to pressures coming through from interest rates. Part of it is starting to come through from businesses' souring relationship with the government. There's a feeling in the business community that the government is pretty anti-business. And they're starting to see that in a number of decisions which have been taken of late. That's starting to reflect into business confidence a bit. Having said that, consumer sentiment, we had December Westpac consumer sentiment came out. That held up. Had a couple of bad months before that, but we had a rebound of 3%. In the December consumer sentiment survey, so there's some strength running through that. And probably part of the explanation for that is just the phenomenal strength which is still running through the labour market. We had the labour force data came out for November, and there's no sign of weakness, rather the opposite running through this. Employment, the market thought that we'd have around about 17,000 lift in employment. We got 64,000 lift in employment. The previous month was revised upwards from 32,200 to 43,100. Just over this past year now, employment has risen 553,000 or 4.2%. That's part of the reason why total wages paid in the economy are running over 10%, whereas the wage price index is showing only 3.1% year-on-year growth. A lot of this is more people in employment. There's a lot more people who are getting the hours they want as well. The underemployment rate's now down at the lowest ever at 5.8%. The other thing that we heard from a survey from the ABS last week, a record number of people working two jobs or more. So a lot of people are getting a lot more employment. Participation rate went up by 0.3 to 66.8. From 66.5, and that's the only reason that the unemployment rate didn't go down. The unemployment rate's just stuck down there at 3.4%, which is the lowest since 1974. So whilst the labour market's that tight and that strong, the RBA, we'll have reasons why the CPI won't stay quite as high as it's been on an annual basis, but there's not a snowflake's chance in hell of the CPI getting down to the top end of the Reserve Bank's 2-3% target range any time over the next 2 to 3 years, whilst you've got this huge strength running through the labour market. That means that it's setting the RBA up for has to raise rates again when it gets through to the first meeting of next year. It starts 2023 where it finished 2022. And I think this is the sort of recognition which is starting to build around the world that central banks aren't done yet. Even though they might have pivoted a bit to smaller rate hikes, we still can't tell where the peak of these rates are. And that's the story, I think, that ran through to Europe as well last week, where you had both the Bank of England and the ECB lifting by 50 basis points. The ECB, 50 basis points now takes the deposit rate there to 2%. And there was a conference that, they're definitely heading towards recession, but they've still got more rate hikes more rate, that there's still a lot more rate hikes to come. The Bank of England, similar sorts of comments, and they're gone up 50 basis points to 3.5% for their base rate from 3. So those pressure points are just there, still around the world as we go into next year. It's the lack of cracks in the labour market. At some point, everybody expects that's going to happen. In fact, they've been expecting it for quite some time, that you're going to get it. We're just not getting it. And so that keeps on putting this pressure back to the central bank. So, yeah, that's where the risks lie, really, going into the first part of next year, that the central banks are going to be very, very hard-pressed to dial soft landings for these economies. They're going to have to keep pressuring with rate hikes. And that's where you're starting to see some of those wobbles just starting to run through some of the risk asset markets too, where for a time, the bottom-up analysts still had some very, very optimistic estimates of what earnings would do for companies over the next year or two. It doesn't look realistic at all because the top-down suggests that there's going to be a whole lot of downward pressure in terms of for companies to generate the sort of earnings growth which is in the bottom-up estimates. And that's the sort of adjustment which has got to come through some of the thinking too as we go into the first part of next year. But as I say, this is the last one for this year. The next time we do one of these will be in the new year on the 9th of January. And just wishing everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.